You might say Patty Vitt is looking for the right stock to fill the arc. She's dressed in jeans and a T-shirt, her long brown hair in braids, a field notebook in hand, and a pencil tied to her pants. For 9 months of each year, she wanders along railroad tracks, through old cemeteries and nature preserves, filling shopping bags with the seeds of prairie plants. Vitt is a conservation scientist with the Chicago Botanic Garden. She's studied these plants since she was a child. She knows their Latin names. She dreams about them at night. She even knows the intimate details of their reproductive lives.
One does it with having teeny little flowers and, you know, taking small little bees. And another one does it by having huge flowers and lots of nectar, and they have really big bees, or maybe a moth that pollinates them.
And she says prairie plants are hardy, native to the upper Midwest. They can handle icy winters and long, hot droughts. But they can't fight plows or bulldozers. Farmers and developers have destroyed almost all the land where prairie plants once grew. Today, 0.1% of the original prairie remains.
That means that what we're looking at right here is 0.1% of the population that this plant once enjoyed. I'm sorry, even though there's a lot in this prairie, this plant should be endangered because there are so few acres of its habitat left. And every day, we're coming and we're taking more and more of it. The prairie habitat is more endangered than tropical rainforest.
That worries Vitt, not only because she thinks the prairie plants are beautiful, but because they may have value to people. For example, she says about half of our modern medicines came originally from plants or the fungus found in the soil beneath them.
If you think about penicillin, penicillin came from mold. We might be standing on a treasure trove of antibiotics, which we need. But if we let the plants go, we let the soil fungi go, we let the potential antibiotics go.
So Vitt is collecting prairie seeds from about 1,500 plants and shipping them to the English countryside. Just south of London, the British government has built what it hopes will be the largest seed bank in the world devoted to wild plants. The building looks like a series of greenhouses made from concrete, stone, glass, and steel. In the basement, fire and bomb-proof vaults hold billions of seeds from 24,000 species.
That's the exciting bit. We thought big.
Michael Way is a scientist at the Millennium Seed Bank. He says it's needed now because a lot of wild plants are in danger of disappearing. Because of global warming and the pace of human development, Way believes a third of the world's plant species could be gone by 2050.
You hope that the worst is not going to happen. Of course, from time to time, the worst does happen. If a plant population is destroyed, if a decision is taken to build houses or factories or roads on a particular area which was home to some quite special plants, seed banking is one tool that you can use to protect that genetic diversity that might be unique to that site.
Each day, seeds arrive from Africa, Australia, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. They sit in colorful plastic crates, waiting to be cleaned, dried, and frozen. If stored correctly, Way says these seeds could survive for a century or more.
Seeds are tough. Small but tough. And the whole point of seeds is to be dormant and allow themselves to be transported around. So unless we do something really stupid, they will remain viable.
Back in the U.S., Patty Vitt says seed banks like the one near London could mean the survival of humanity, since people can't live without plants.
I think fundamentally we all understand that we are a part of nature. But in our daily lives, we get so cut off from it that we forget.
She sees the earth as a garden and wants people to act like gardeners. Setting up seed banks is an important first step.
We will have the tools that we need to bring things back if necessary.
For the GLRC, I'm Sandy Houseman.